Phyllis Wallace, the narrator of the Good Shepherd story. And now I'd like to look at some of the ways women serve the Lord through Good Shepherd. Women's ministries have been in place since the beginning of the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church mission, primarily the LWML, which I could not enjoy because of limited childcare when our four little ones were younger. But that changed for me in the summer of 1978, when my sister shared a women's Bible study a friend of hers wrote. After we worked through the lessons, I bought the cassette tapes and the workbook from my sister to put in the church library to encourage women. Pastor Dennis Kastens, that same week, had a request in the church bulletin for someone to lead a brown bag lunchtime women's Bible study because the leader was going back to work. Six women needed a leader. That would not be me. But all week long, I resisted the nudge to do it. Was it any coincidence I had not only worked through a study, but purchased the tapes and workbook? I told Pastor Kastens that if 10 women were interested, I'd have them to my home, push the on button for the study, and learn to make coffee. I am not a Lutheran school graduate and felt unqualified to lead a Bible study. You can imagine my relief when by the next weekend, only 9 had signed up. Pastor Kastens smiled and said, "Sunday isn't over yet." I do not know if he called another woman to sign up, but one more made 10. We were off and running. Tape recorder, coffee, deep seeking, and a developing closeness with Christ for which we all longed. His word drew us together and sent us out comforted, empowered, and rejoicing in Christ every week. For 2 years, 10 different women each year. Then I took a break to help a Baptist pastor's wife with a huge Bible study at their church. That inspired me to start one at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in 1980. We called it Wednesday Woman, and I prayed for 50 women to come. All summer, I invited women to help with this effort. We needed small group Bible study leaders, childcare, refreshments, music, a prayer leader, a librarian for the books and the tapes of the weekly teachings to be shared. I studied commentaries and wrote the first study, praying every step of the way for God's guidance. There wasn't opposition exactly, but I heard that one woman in the church said it would never work because women weren't interested in spending 2.5 hours in a Bible study craft group. That did give me pause, I have to admit, as I leaned even harder on the Lord. On Tuesdays, the 10 small group leaders came to the house to study the lesson to anticipate questions from their groups the next day. That became a springboard for not only faith growth, but for women to build confidence, Christ confidence, and for some to go back to school and actually finish up degrees. A little sidebar here. The spring before starting Wednesday Woman, I submitted 4 devotions to CPH for their youth devotion booklet called My Devotions. This was at the urging of Chaplain Ernie Wenzel, a fellow member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, who had heard me say I wanted to be a writer when I grew up. I kind of forgot about it, chalking it up to a good learning experience, thinking how fun and tedious it is to write devotional materials. Well, imagine my delight when the day before the first Wednesday Woman that September, I received a check in the mail from Concordia Publishing House, $10 for each devotion. That was $40. A lot of money for a stay-at-home mom, and I knew how I'd spend it after the tithe. Well, 55 women came with 30 children. The childcare arms were overloaded, and we adapted quickly after that. It was a surprisingly exhilarating morning. The music, the lecture, the small groups, the children, food, crafts, appreciated by everybody. We did not take an offering on opening day. I hadn't really thought of it. After everyone left, though, I added up the bills for childcare and snacks. Guess how much? Yeah, $40. Which I just happened to have from cashing that check from CPH the day before. God's sense of humor and provision made it come out that precisely. No one knew, but I knew. And that was the wind in my sails for years to come. For 10 years, in fact, we studied during the school year a different book of the Bible each year. We learned crafts like quilting and gardening and cooking. We even supported a few women financially from our collections. I witnessed changes to people's lives I didn't expect. My background as a women's and family counselor opened the door for biblical counseling. I know of 3 suicides that were averted, depression that was lifted, broken marriages made whole. Eventually, about 100 women came from 14 different churches, including, as I used to say in the 80s, the Church of None, N-O-N-E. De-churched women returned to other churches. A number of them joined Good Shepherd and enrolled their children in our school after 1984. We added to the Bible study format 2 annual events, a spring thing, where a Christian speaker would keynote on a faith-related issue. Women invited their friends to the keynote and a fabulous lunch we would prepare. Hundreds came each spring, and many women were introduced to our church and to the Lord through those events. We also held an annual fall festival, a Saturday retreat with several speakers and topics that appealed to the community. A few of the Bible study leaders were Mary Ellen Mathias, Mary Cruda, Terry Blassingame, Lynn Francis, Jackie Schlonat, Lorelei Zavalia. We had childcare headed up by Sue Peterson, Kathy Dravalis, Kathy Marzoli. Mary Carroll and Jan Phillips took care of the music. Doris Wolf was the treasurer. Cindy Omohundro did a lot of the crafts, along with Rosalie Underwood, Laura Bruni, Kathy Hankey, Margaret Hieseman, Kathy Rule. Marcy Ford was head of special events with handmade name tags and centerpieces that rivaled commercial offerings. I'll never forget the year our fall retreat theme was Rowing Together, and we spelled it Rowing to G-E-T, get her. And Chris Ford designed, made, and painted 20 wooden rowboats with oars as table centerpieces. Everyone involved with Wednesday Woman went all out to welcome and nurture the faith of the women who came. Shirley Wenzel baked breads, and we made salads and desserts for up to 200 women. Bernie Sato taught us how to cut pineapples the beautiful Hawaiian way. One keynote, the amazing French chef Joy Boulevant of Café Trebon in Highland, Illinois, not only shared her powerful testimony in Christ, but with her staff made 200 meringue swans filled with something heavenly for our spring thing dessert that year. Well, no wonder people salivated when they heard about Wednesday Woman. The idea was for women to hunger for the Word of God and grow in Christ, and that we did. After 10 years, I left to write my book, but not until I checked with Pastor Kastens about that idea. I feared he would be disappointed and ask me not to leave. Quite the contrary. He was supportive, explained that everything has its season. He shared how he'd led a service for hippies in Hawaii for 10 years until it ran its course. His support, as always, was huge in stepping out to whatever God had in store. A side tone here. About that time, I was invited by Dr. Jean Garten on the board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to appear before the Commission on Women, set up for the LCMS by President Ralph Bowman. I stood before them, handed out notes on the Wednesday Woman Outreach. I spoke for 10 minutes, and then I opened it to questions and answers, Q&As, nothing, silence, beyond the pregnant pause. Had I failed them? Did they not like me or my ideas? Could I please go home now? Finally, one of their leaders spoke, Phyllis, I think I can speak for the 12 of us. We are silent and in awe. Do you know how blessed you are to have a pastor who allows and supports you in this work? That had not occurred to me, but it has ever since. Pastor Kastens was there for women hungry for more of Christ. Although this outreach increased his workload many times over, he embraced the task and became part of the fabric of God's Wednesday Woman weaving, as did Pastor Sato during his years with us. After I left, Lynn Lauber took over for a while, and Wednesday Woman continues to this day for about 20 women with various leaders under the guidance of Carol Walther, Director of Children's and Women's Ministries. Incidentally, my book is still to be written, interrupted by things like our first pastor, Alvin Coleman, suggesting I interview for a radio show on KFUO AM in St. Louis instead of writing a book. But that's another story called Woman to Woman. I've grown spiritually and emotionally from living in a loving Christian community called Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. Remember how Ernie Wenzel suggested I write for my devotions? Well, that never would have occurred to me. Pastor Coleman calling me repeatedly until I visited KFUO. Clueless about radio, but very familiar with women's issues as they relate to our Lord's promise and provision. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ at Good Shepherd.